going to work? There we go. Okay, here we go. Now I'm on. So before you lay down, the lesson this morning is called Spine Like a Chain. And I thought it might be interesting to just look at the skeleton for a moment. And just look at some parts of the spine to have a visual sense of what they look like on the skeleton as you relate them to your own sensation. So here we have this little tailbone, and the tailbone moves. Yeah, well, this guy's tailbone's loose. Yours isn't this loose. Yours doesn't wag this easily yet.
So,
this is a guy, although we do call him Lucy. And then this is the big sacrum, the big bone that rests between the two sides of the pelvis. And this is your sacrum. And so as you move your tailbone, your sacrum is just one big bone that moves. And then above that, you have the large vertebrae of your lumbar spine. And there are five of those. And then they move into the thoracic spine, and there are 12 thoracic vertebrae, and those are attached to your ribs. So as you begin to feel into the thoracic vertebrae this morning, you can also sense that the ribs can move independently with them. So you have this kind of lovely accordion. And then at the top of the thoracic spine, you move into your cervical spine. And there are 7 cervical vertebrae.
Called cervical?
Uh-huh. Yeah, your neck are your cervical vertebrae. And then this whole armature, this whole beautiful basket, is joined together in the front by your sternum. And that bone can actually also slide up and down. So as we move your spine this morning, you can begin to get a sense of this whole weaving of bones attached.
What are these in this other form here? What's
yeah, well, these are cartilage. The ribs actually attach to the sternum with cartilage, and then that cartilage attaches to the bone, the bony structure. So cartilage is quite flexible.
So that's why the bones are, and then they're floating bones.
Yeah.
Attached to anything?
No, these floating ribs, well, they do attach to your spine in the back, but they don't attach in the front to the sternum. Okay. So that's just a kind of little explanation. And now you may lie down. So lie on your back. I'm going to sit right here in front of you. And just center contact in lying. What parts of yourself take support from the floor this morning? And if you feel like you need a little pad under your head, I'm going to walk around.
You won't.
You won't. Okay. Doris, I think you might enjoy a pad.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You look fine, Judith. You want to try and see?
Yeah.
And as the lesson progresses, if you have a pad, you may discover you don't need it anymore and you can take it out. So now, as you're lying there, sensing your contact with the floor, just draw an imaginary line that starts at the top of your head and extends through the middle of your body, all the way down beyond your pubic bone, in that space between your legs, to the bottom of your feet. So just take a moment to imagine that imaginary line bisecting yourself. And with that in mind, bring your attention to your feet. And just notice how your heels are contacting the floor, and notice the relationship of your heels to your midline. So are they equidistant from the midline, or is one heel a little bit closer than the other to your midline? What is that relationship for you? And then bring your attention to your legs. Sense the contact that your right leg is making with the floor, the calf, the space behind the knee, the contact of the thigh, that area where the top of the leg hooks into the muscles of the pelvis. And then notice the contact that the other leg is making with the floor. The space underneath your ankle, the contact of your calf, that space behind your knee, the contact your thigh is making with the floor, and that connection between the top of the leg and the pelvis. And now notice the relationship of the legs to your midline. Are your legs equidistant from the midline? Or is one leg a little bit closer than the other? And which leg is that? And how far are your legs from the midline? Some of you are lying with your legs spread wide apart. Others have chosen to put their legs close together. So just notice for yourself how close your legs are to that midline. Bring your attention to your pelvis and how it's taking support from the floor. And draw a line across the top of the pelvis, connecting the bone in the front. And so that line is going to be perpendicular to your midline. And just notice, is your line straight? Does it go straight across from bone to bone? Or does it go at a little bit of an angle? And if so, which way does it tilt? Does it tilt up to the left or does it tilt to the right? Thanks, Michael. So just notice the relationship of that line joining the top of the pelvis and your midline. Now bring your attention to your shoulder blades resting on the floor.
When you talk that way, I can't understand.
Okay.
If you look straight at me, then I can.
Okay, got it. Bring your attention to your shoulder blades resting on the floor. Sense the support and contact they're taking this morning. Notice the shape that they're tracing on the floor and the difference between them. Does one shoulder blade wing a little bit more than the other? Does one lie flatter? Just notice the contact of the shoulder blade with the floor. And notice the relationship of your shoulder blades to your midline. So are the shoulder blades resting equidistant to the midline? Or is one lying a little bit farther away than the other? Sense your breath and the volume of your breath. As you breathe in and out, what contact change do you notice the breath making with the floor? Bring your attention to your arms lying on the floor and the contact each arm is making. Notice the direction of your palms. Have you chosen to lie with your palms facing up or facing down or facing in towards the sides of your body? What felt comfortable for you this morning? And are both palms lying in the same direction? Now notice the distance from the midline of your left and right arm. And get a sense, is one arm lying closer to the midline and closer to your side body than the other? Bring your attention to your head resting on the floor. And feel that space where the brunt of the weight is lying. And just notice, is that where the midline is, or is your head resting a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right of the midline? Where is your head in relation to the midline? Now bring your attention to your spine, and you may or may not have any sensation of contact with your spine on the floor, but just bring your sensation to your spine and sense those parts of the spine that you sense right now. You can imagine those parts of the spine that you may not sense. And then bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. Oh, and I love how you remember to bend your knees like we learned last week. That's beautiful. And just straighten your legs one more time. And then bend the knees and bring the feet to standing again. And notice as you do that how the contact that your spine makes with the floor changes, just with that simple shift in the orientation of your feet. You may notice that your low back comes into the floor a little bit more, your shoulder blades rest a little more heavily. And now with your feet in standing, begin to do a very simple movement of lifting your tailbone off the floor. So you're going to tuck the tailbone a little so it comes in towards your thighs. And the tailbone's going to lift slightly from the floor and then put it back. So do that many times. Lift the tailbone and lower it. And notice as you lift the tailbone, the sacrum takes a little bit more pressure and it may begin to lift a little bit from the floor also. So lift the tailbone and notice how the pressure on the sacrum shifts and lower it. And then the next time, each time lift and come back to rest. So it's a distinct movement. You lift, you reverse it, you pause a moment, and then you lift again. And now the next time you can lift the tailbone and let the sacrum lift also. So you're beginning to peel that lower part of your spine off the floor. So you lift the tailbone and then you lift the sacrum, and you notice that as you lift the sacrum, you're going to feel that lower lumbar vertebrae press a little bit more heavily into the floor, and then you lower. And you do it in a way that you're sensing a differentiation. So you sense the lifting of the tailbone, and then the lifting of the sacrum, and then you can begin to lift that lower lumbar vertebrae, and then you reverse it. You lower the sacrum, and you lower the tailbone, and you rest. And you do that many times, gently exploring the sensation of lifting first the tailbone and then the sacrum and then the lumbar vertebrae, the first lumbar vertebrae, which is actually the fifth. They go in reverse order, so you're lifting your fifth lumbar. And you notice as you lift that, that the fourth presses a little bit more into the floor. And then next time, lift a little bit higher up your lumbar spine. So you lift the tailbone and the sacrum and then the fifth lumbar and the fourth. And you notice how the third presses a little more into the floor. And then you reverse the chain. And you do that a couple times, sensing the differentiation between the sacrum and the fifth lumbar, the fourth and the third, how that area above it takes a little more pressure and you can perhaps sense it a little more clearly from its pressure. And go slowly, there's no hurry. And then the next time that you lift, go up so that you feel that you've peeled the entire lumbar spine off the floor and you're beginning to feel into that area of the thoracic spine along the floating ribs. So your pelvis lifts a little bit more from the floor as you lift the whole lumbar. And then lengthen your legs and take a rest. Just bring your legs down and take a rest. With your legs long, take a rest. And notice the volume of your breath. Has anything about the breath changed now? Sense the contact of your spine with the floor, and has that activity of lifting and lowering the pelvis and the lumbar spine changed anything about how you're sensing your spine on the floor? Get a sense of your midline. See if the relation of your parts to the midline has shifted at all. And then bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And once again, begin that peeling of the spine. So starting with the tailbone and lift the tailbone and then the sacrum. So you can push a little bit into the feet so that the pelvis begins to peel a little off the floor as you move higher up into the thoracic spine. So you can push a little and roll your tailbone up and your sacrum, the lumbar spine, and then you begin to sense that that area of the thoracic spine around the floating ribs can begin to lift and peel a little bit from the floor. And then you reverse. And just notice as you're pushing through the feet to help to peel the spine off the floor, how do you push through the feet? I think it's Donna. We're okay. So just notice as you lift the spine off the floor, so you're peeling one vertebrae at a time and now you're lifting up to the thoracic spine around those floating ribs. How How are you pushing through the feet? Do both feet push evenly? Or is one foot pushing a little more than the other? Just bring your attention to that. And then reverse the motion and come back down. Rest whenever you need to, but if you would like to, you can continue on, each time lifting one vertebra higher than the time before. So now it looks like some of you are at the point where you're peeling the spine off the floor to that space right below the shoulder blades. And then you're gently reversing the chain, feeling the differentiation in each of the vertebrae as you come back down to the floor. And notice what you're doing with your breath. Do you inhale as you peel the pelvis and then the lumbar spine and the thoracic spine off the floor? Or do you exhale? Or do you do both? Are you doing the movement so slowly that you inhale and exhale and inhale before you reach the top? And continue peeling the spine off the floor, moving up into that space of your spine between your shoulder blades, and then peel back down slowly, reversibly, sensing each vertebrae as it makes contact with the floor. How as you get to that area of the lumbar spine, it flattens out a little bit. Then the sacrum comes down and takes support from the floor, and finally the tailbone. And then peel up. Yeah, you can push and lift a little, Doris. So that as you begin to peel up, you notice that when you get into that area higher up in the thoracic spine, the whole pelvis is off the floor. That's right. And now the next time you do it more slowly and intentionally so that you're not lifting the whole thoracic area as a block, but you're only going in a way that you can sense a differentiation or imagine a differentiation between those vertebrae. Just slow down. Yeah, you did it. Yeah. Right. Just imagine it, and then as you bring attention to it, you'll begin to be able to differentiate them. And our next variation is going to help with that. So everyone, one more time, just slowly peel first the tailbone and then the sacrum, the lumbar spine, and the thoracic spine off the floor up to as high as you can go and feel differentiation there between your shoulder blades and make it reversible, because on the coming back you might get a more clear sense of that chain, that each vertebra is like a pearl in a strand and you can lower it to the floor. And when you've come all the way back down, lengthen your legs and rest. And notice the support you're taking from the floor in resting now. What's changed? Do you feel your spine with any more clarity? And how about your midline? Has the relationship of your legs and your arms, your shoulder blades to the midline, shifted at all? And that place at the back of your skull where your head is taking support, has that shifted its relationship to your midline? So bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And just once, with a lot of awareness, peel the spine off the floor up to that highest point you got to that you can do with clarity and awareness. And notice how you're pushing through your feet. And if the distribution of weight as you peel up is the same, or if one foot is doing a little more work than the other, and in that working is causing the spine to move off a little more to one side or the other. Just notice, without trying to change, how you're pushing through the feet and what direction that pushing sends the spine in. And then when you're down, just rest with your feet in standing. That's right. And then interlace your fingers and put them behind your head. You can have your elbows gently in towards the side of your head. And now, with your fingers interlaced, begin to roll your head forward and begin to roll the thoracic spine off the floor. Using your hands, but really you don't want to have to crank your head. You want to just only go up that amount that is easy for you to curl the upper spine off the floor. And then come back down. And go slowly. This is not a sit-up. I know there's like this tendency to think that we're going to be doing a crunch here, and we're not. What you're trying to do is to sense in that slow peeling each vertebrae as it lightens its contact with the floor and then reestablishes contact with the floor. So now, as you do that, what could you do with your eyes to perhaps help you to lift the top part of your thoracic spine off the floor? Try looking down towards your pubic bone as you lift. And you can slow it down. Michael and Doris can slow it way down. And that's right. Use your eyes and look towards your pubic bone and just sense that. You can bring your elbows in so they kind of hug the side of your face as you come up, and then that weight of the elbows can help you to curl the upper spine off the floor a little bit more. So you curl up and you may feel the shoulder blades can begin to lighten their contact with the floor. And then you roll back down. So you curl up, looking with your eyes towards your pubic bone, feeling the shoulder blades lighten their contact with the floor. As you're peeling the upper spine, getting to that point, perhaps right there between your shoulder blades. That's nice, Carl. That looks good. do that one or two more times, sensing how far up you can peel the upper spine off your mat. Noticing how you could use your breath. Would it be easier to exhale or inhale as you come up? And bring your attention to your sternum. Imagine that as you roll up, the sternum can slide down towards your pubic bone. And that sliding of the sternum down can allow the back body to raise a little more. That the spine and the sternum can work in unity here. And do it slowly and reversibly, not mechanically. This isn't about doing things for repetition, but for sensation. So, just take a rest. Lengthen your legs and rest. That looks very nice. Bring your arms down by your side. Sense your contact with the floor. How has your breath changed? Now we've worked from the base of the spine up to the middle back, and from the head down to the middle back. And has that exploration changed the volume of your breath at all? Bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And now once again, begin to peel the spine off the floor one vertebra at a time. So the tailbone lifts, and then the sacrum, the five vertebrae and the lumbar spine lift, and your pelvis lightens its contact with the floor. You begin to lift the vertebrae in the thoracic spine around the floating ribs, and the contact of the mid-back lightens, and you feel perhaps you're resting between your shoulder blades. And you go as high as you can comfortably differentiate, and then you reverse it and you lay one vertebrae at a time back down on the floor. And just sense, how has the work of lifting the head and the upper spine influenced this movement that you're making now? Has it made it any easier to access those vertebrae up closer to your shoulder blades and around the base of your neck? And how about the pressure of your feet? Has anything about that changed? Is it a little more even from the left foot to the right foot? Is it a little lighter as you're learning to differentiate the lifting and lowering of the vertebrae? Perhaps you notice that you don't need to push as much through the feet. What do you notice? This time, when you peel the spine off the floor, bring your attention to your sternum. In which direction does the sternum slide? As the contact with the pelvis lightens and the mid-back begins to lighten its contact with the floor and the ribs begin to move with the spine, where is your sternum sliding? Just notice, does it slide up towards your face a little bit? And then as you lower down, one pearl-leg vertebrae at a time, notice the sternum sliding back down. And now just rest with your feet in standing a moment. And now cross your right knee over your left leg so that the ankle, do it so that there's a little bit of a window so that the ankle is resting below the knee. That's right, and there's a little bit of a window. That's right. And now in this situation, begin to peel the spine off the floor and go in a very exploratory way. The first time, maybe you just lift the tailbone and the sacrum and put it back down. And then the second time, you perhaps lift the tailbone and the sacrum and the lumbar vertebra. And just notice in the lifting, what direction are you moving in? Are you able to come up straight through the midline? Or do you veer off a little bit to one side or the other? So you push a little bit through the foot and the pelvis lightens its contact and you peel each vertebrae off gently without efforting, just noticing how in this asymmetrical situation you're able to lift the spine. And what differentiations in the vertebrae as you lift can you make? Lifting and lowering. That's nice. And next time that your pelvis is resting on the floor, just uncross your legs and rest with your feet in standing. And now reverse the crossing of your legs so that you're going to have to help me. We had the left foot over the right ankle, so we're going to put the right foot over the left ankle this time. The other way. Okay. All right. And now begin once again to lift that spinal chain from the floor, pushing a little bit through the foot to lift the tailbone and then the sacrum, the lower lumbar vertebrae, and go gently. Don't force it. Just go with a lot of attention to detail and quality. And what's different? What is different about lifting in this asymmetrical position? Is it easier? Is the lifting lighter in this situation? Is the direction different? Can you go more up the midline of the spine? Is your balance different on this side? With those first couple moves, are you maybe a little wobbly, getting a sense of how to balance? And then slowly explore how you can lift one vertebrae after another, lightening the contact with the pelvis and the spine up towards the shoulder blade area. Notice how the sternum responds and the ribs. Notice your breath as you're moving up in this asymmetrical situation. Do you feel the breath more in one side of your chest than the other? And then a couple more times at your own pace, looking for quality and discovering that kind of domino effect of as one vertebrae lifts, the other pushes a little bit more into the ground, and then it lifts, and the one above it pushes a little bit more, and then it lifts, and the one above pushes a little bit more. And how you can reverse that and sense each vertebrae reestablishing contact with the floor as you move down. And then next time you're all the way down, take a rest. Lengthen your legs and rest. Sense the contact that you're making with the floor now. How do you sense your spine now? Bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And once again, begin to peel the spine off the floor, noticing how this work in asymmetrical situations has changed the way you lift and lower your spine. Go slowly, giving detailed attention to each vertebrae as it lightens its contact with the floor. Sense that connection from the ribs to the sternum as you go. Allow the breath to be free and easy. Just notice the contact that your feet are making with the floor. And has the use of the feet balanced out at all? That's nice. And next time your pelvis is resting on the floor, just rest there with your feet and standing for a moment. Interlace your fingers in the non-habitual way. So that means you can interlace them in the habitual way and then just change that interlace. So interlace them like you would normally and then just flip them over one. And it might feel a little awkward. And then bring them behind your head. And now begin once again to roll up. So let the upper body peel off the floor, using your eyes, looking down towards your pubic bone to help in the peeling. And just notice, has that changed? And then go back down. And then the next time that you peel the upper back off the floor, also peel the pelvis off the floor. So you're going to peel the upper back and then peel the pelvis slightly so that you're going, that's right, you're going to peel the upper back and the pelvis off the floor so that you come to rest in an area in your mid-back. And then lower back down, the pelvis and the upper back. And as you go back down, each time allow your elbows to widen and make contact with the floor so you open up the chest. That's right. And then come back up again, peeling the upper spine and the lower spine together slowly. In a way that allows you to bring some awareness and sensation to those vertebrae in the mid-back that for most of us are not clearly in our self-image. When I learned this lesson, the teacher who taught at Arlen Zones said that most of us don't have much sensation of our cervical spine, our neck, the spine in our neck, and we don't really have a clear idea of our thoracic spine. And so what that leaves us with is a low back. And that's a pretty good indication of why so many people in our culture have excess strain in their low back, because they really don't have a clear idea of how to integrate their entire spine in their movements. So just take this time now to roll up into that area in the mid-back between your shoulder blades and feel how you can differentiate those vertebrae. Keep the pressure on your head and neck light. Don't strain your neck as you're doing this. The hands are just, the head is heavy in the hands. And then just leave it and lengthen your legs and rest. Notice your contact with the floor now. Get a sense of your spine. Okay. The volume of your breath. And bring your attention back to your midline. Are your legs lying in any different relationship to that midline now? Notice the weight across your pelvis and that line intersecting your midline and your pelvis. Has its direction shifted? Sense the distance of each shoulder blade to the midline. And feel that place at the back of your head where you're making contact with the floor. And notice has its relationship to your midline changed at all. Now bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. Interlace your fingers and place them behind your head, resting your head heavy in your hands. And now, begin to peel your upper spine off the floor. So slowly, one vertebra at a time, curl your head and look towards your pubic bone. And then as you begin to lower the upper spine down, begin to lift your pelvis off the floor. So you're going to make a little seesaw motion. So as the upper spine lowers, the lower spine lifts. That's right. That's good. You guys are making it easy for me. So peel the upper spine off to that place you can sense between your shoulder blades. And as you begin to initiate the movement back down, begin to lift the tailbone, and then the pelvis lifts and the lumbar lifts. So you feel the lower spine lifting as the upper spine lowers. And then you reverse it and you lift the upper spine as you lower the lower. And then as you lower the upper, you lift the lower. And just begin to feel that movement like a chain, like a strand of pearls, as you can gently lift and massage each vertebra. And go slowly, not mechanically, bringing a lot of awareness to the lifting and lowering of each part of the spine. So as you begin to lower, you lift the tailbone. And as you begin to lower the tailbone, you lift the upper thoracic spine. And each time as you go down, let your elbows open wide and rest there at the bottom, and then come back up and start again. And what can you do with your eyes? As you come up, you can look towards your tailbone. Perhaps as you go down, if you look to that wall behind you, just with your eyes closed gently, that may help in the lifting. Keep your head, keep your neck light. Rest your head heavy in your hands so the neck isn't straining. And then leave it alone and lengthen your legs and rest. Sense your contact with the floor now. The support you're taking. What new parts of you have surrendered to the floor? One last time, bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And just before you do it, imagine peeling each vertebra of your spine up off the floor from your tailbone through your sacrum, your lumbar spine, to your thoracic, perhaps all the way up to the base of your neck now. Just imagine that differentiation, that ability of each vertebra to move independently. The connection of those vertebra in the thoracic spine to the ribs and around to the front to the sternum. So as that part of your spine lifts, the sternum slides in response. And imagine reversing the chain. And when you have a picture of that, go ahead and do it. Do it 3 times and just do it in a lazy, luxurious way. Allowing the breath to be free. Noticing if you're coming up through your midline, if the pressure on your feet is balanced. And then when you've done it to your satisfaction, just lengthen your legs and rest. Notice the contact that you're making with the floor now. That's right. Everybody just leave it and rest. And when you're ready, roll to your side and come up to sit. Take a moment in sitting before you come to stand. And just in standing, notice the weight on your feet. And reestablish that midline. And just notice. What's your balance in relationship to that midline in standing? And then you've got a clear sense of that. The balance in your feet. Just take it for a little walk and notice how your spine moves as you walk, how your tail wags and the space between your shoulders can move and your rib cage can be free and accordion-like. And thank you.
Thank you.